This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up? Happy Sunday, everybody. Week 2 of the NFL season has the Saints in Dallas today to take on the 1-0 Cowboys. Both teams looking to build on their early success. The Saints with a 37-point drubbing of the Panthers in Week 1. Hopefully they can continue that momentum into this matchup against a Dallas Cowboys squad that I think everybody recognizes is a clear step up in competition. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long and Cullen Steele taking you till 10 a.m. That's when we'll hear from the Cajun Cannon, get his take on this matchup between the Cowboys and Saints. And after that, a noon start out in Jerry's World in Dallas between the Cowboys and Saints. The best play-by-play and color duo with Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister taking you to game time there. And then after the matchup, we'll be on in the Ciroc Point after with the Cajun Cannon taking your calls, sounding off till 6 p.m. I want to hear from you now as well, Hoodats. While you're getting ready for this game, what are you looking forward to? Your biggest keys to this matchup on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. That's 504-260-1870. Going into this game, our sideline reporter Jeff Nowak got a chance in the locker room to catch up with safety Tyrann Mathieu, who is instrumental in that key success to the victory over the Panthers. Had a nice fumble recovery, caused the fumble, and then jumped on it. Well, Tyrann, we know, is a big leader of this team, and here's what he had to say with our sideline reporter Jeff Nowak.
When, you know, you have a big win like that, and the kind of resounding thing, like, oh, it was just the Panthers. Like, that's, you hear that a lot. Do you use that? Is that something that you can use as motivation in terms of, like, obviously you don't want to listen to all the analysis or anything, but when is that something you can use? I'm just curious.
For sure. I think, like for us, man, as players, like we don't disrespect, you know, really any opponent. You know what I mean? And we know too, like, and you know as well, like, man, it's like, man, you can have a great team, and it's still hard to do what we did Sunday. You know what I mean? But we do understand that, man. Like we just in that position to where we have to continuously like prove that we could play with the big boys. I think, you know, like if we're able to win this game this week, then next week it's going to be the same. Or can they beat the Eagles? You know what I mean? And so, yeah, man, like, you know, we just got to keep our head down and just keep doing what we're doing. Like, we know we're a good defense, but, yeah, I mean, it's going to be those times in the season where, like we got to prove that consistently.
And obviously, you know, you were at the Chiefs, you went to the Super Bowl. Is it easier or more difficult when everyone's giving you all the credit in the world versus when no one's giving you any credit?
I think it's equally, difficult. Like when you're winning, like everybody wants you, like everybody has a target on your back. And then it's like, you know, when you're losing, are you capable of winning? It's like people find reasons to kind of dismiss, you know, why you won. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think they're both, like, just different, like, challenging places to be in.
How nice was it when you forced the fumble and it just happens to bounce right back into your arms like that?
Well, you know, that's how it used to be. At least that's how I used to feel. And, yeah, man, like, I came into the season, and I was like, man, like I always find myself getting intercepts, but, like, I think I have maybe, like, 7 forced fumbles. And I'm like, you know, like, how can I get to 40, 20, and 15 forced fumbles? You know what I mean? So, like, that was, like, an emphasis for me this season was to, like not just focus on catching picks, like find a way to punch a ball out. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that was, like, a good, like, little confidence, little booster, momentum booster because, yeah, like, I haven't, you know, forced one of those, you know, in a while. You know what I mean? So, I know I had that one, like, 2 years ago on a goal line, but Sam Darnold, like, come on, man. Like, I don't even count that. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I think it was Von Bell his last year here. It was like he had magnets on him or something.
Yeah.
Like, every time a ball was on the ground, we just lined up with him.
Yeah, I always tell my teammates, you know, anytime y'all force a fumble or tip a ball, just make sure I'm the beneficiary.
Gotcha. I appreciate it.
Tyrann Mathieu, Saints safety, giving some shade there to Sam Darnold, mentioning, yeah, the last time I had a fumble recovery was against him, but, man, that doesn't count. That was big against the Saints, Saints-Panthers game, obviously, helping sway that momentum, and it just seemed like the Saints in that game put the foot on the gas pedal right from the get against the Carolina Panthers. That opening drive, oh so key, going down the field, getting points. They ended up getting a turnover the very next offensive play from the Carolina Panthers, who got the ball with Bryce Young throwing a pick and ending up with 3 turnovers on the day for the Saints. Tyrann Mathieu part of that with that one fumble recovery, and he punched it out, recovered it. Need more of that from the Black and Gold, who have been pretty successful in the turnover margin the last couple of years. Those sack numbers is what we're looking for the uptick in, and we saw that in week one, obviously, with Alante Taylor being a stud for the Saints, racking up 3 sacks, being tied for the lead in sacks in the NFL after week one. We'll see if he's still utilizing that shape and form come in this game. But Dennis Allen, like I've mentioned, had some pretty good success in his career against Dak Prescott at quarterback. These Saints versus Cowboys matchups have been typically close, tight games, and definitely expecting another one in this showing. I think the Saints go into this matchup either 6, 6.5-point underdogs in betting circles, depending on where you're looking. But it feels like this is going to be one of those games that comes down to the wire. And both kickers on these squads have some pretty impressive legs, so we could end up seeing a field goal-type game in this matchup. Speaking of field goals, want to give a shout-out to Blake Groupie of the Saints. Cullen, asking for that clip a little early here, but Groupie was 4-for-4 last week, obviously not including extra points. Let's just get a listen to Mike Hoss's call of Groupie's made field goals last weekend.
Groupie stands off to the left, takes his steps, snap, kick is away, and the kick is good! Blake Groupie from 57 yards out. So Blake Groupie will come in. This one much closer as the Hayball puts it down at the 34. So it'll be a 44-yarder for Groupie, who has already connected for a career-long 57 yards. This snap is good. The hold is good. And the kick is good. So this will be from 52, kicking towards the Smoothie King Center from the left hash mark. His rookie punter, Mathieu Hayball, with the hold, and the kick is away, and Blake Groupie just keeps pounding it in. So Groupie will come in for a 39-yarder. He's already connected on his first 3 and make it his first 4.
12 points out of Blake Groupie, a 57-yarder, 44-yarder. Also nailed his 52 and a 39-yard field goal.
Steady Eddie, as Bobby called him back during the second guest show last Monday. And I mean,
I know, like you mentioned, though, too, right away, the Cowboys kicker also had a pretty impressive kick as well.
So that's the whole thing when you were talking about, oh, it could come down to a field goal. Deuce talked about the importance of special teams in this game, where it's just like you can't really get up to go use the restroom because something could happen. Like, both teams have really electric returners, for one, in the punt and kick return games. But also, the field goal kickers are elite. like Blake Groupie had a fantastic week one performance. Brandon Aubrey is one of the best kickers in football right now. And against Cleveland, he drilled a 66-yard field goal, which would have tied the NFL record for a regular season kick, and he hit it with room to spare. But there was a delay of game penalty, so it took him back 5 yards. And this was, I believe, at the end of the first half, if I'm remembering correctly from watching the game. They brought him out there for a 71-yarder. And I was just like, please, like, give it a shot.
Let's see it, right.
Because Bobby's been talking all offseason about, like, it, sooner rather than later, someone's going to hit from 70-plus. And it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? And, I mean, Brandon Aubrey's got such an electric leg that he could probably do it. Maybe it would be tight, right? Obviously, nobody's ever hit from 70 in a regular season game. But they were lining him up there for 71, and then they decided not to do it. I'm like, you cowards! Give him a chance. Let him try it. It would have been so fun, but they ultimately did not do that. So if it comes down to a field goal, you know, at the end of the game, I think both teams feel very confident in their kickers.
Yeah, and obviously the conditions won't be an issue. Indoor stadium, so weather will not be a factor. Perfect kicking conditions for both guys.
Yeah, real quick as well, as far as the Saints' success against the Cowboys recently, I got a couple numbers here. I might be still in Bobby's thunder a little bit because I know he loves to talk about this. Dallas leads the series 18-13. But New Orleans, and it says that they've won 6 of 10, but in reality, they've won 10 of their last 14 against the Cowboys. So they've really searched here.
It definitely doesn't feel like that.
No, the last couple, they've lost, I guess, technically 3 of their last 5. But they went on a streak from basically 1998 until 2013, where they won, 7 of 8, or maybe 8 of 9 against this Cowboys squad. So the last time that they won in Dallas, though, was before it was referred to as AT&T Stadium. It was then referred to as Cowboys Stadium, before Jerry World and all that good stuff. They won in 2012 a 34-31 overtime game. As far as their recent games at AT&T Stadium, in 2014 they lost 38-17, and then 2018 they lost 13-10. But the last couple games in the Superdome, they're 2-1. The most recent game they played against the Cowboys in the Caesars Superdome in 2021. That was the last time the Saints played the Cowboys.
Wow.
It's been a while here. So it's a long overdue matchup, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, looking at these two teams, I think obviously tons was expected of the Cowboys going into this season. Not so much for the Saints, but obviously the team raised some eyebrows for sure after that 37-point victory week one.
So another thing to note here too, last year, and this is looking at last year's rankings, the Cowboys and the Saints were both elite in turnover margin.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were plus 10, the Saints were plus 11. That was 5th and 3rd, respectively, in the NFL. Both of them, after the week one performance, are plus 2. That was a huge reason why, for one, the Saints blew out the Panthers. They were plus 2 in the turnover margin.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys were also plus 2 against Cleveland, which is why they smoked them 33-17, and it wasn't really that close. So you have two teams that really like to, you know, create turnovers and protect the ball. So how can you figure out how to get to plus 1 in this game against a Cowboys team that, you know, is trying to say the same thing? Both teams are plus 2. If the Saints finish this game and they're plus 3, maybe plus 4 in the turnover margin, I mean, you're feeling really solid about their chances to potentially pull off an upset here, because they create extra possessions, give your offense extra chances at it. At the same time, the Cowboys are not an easy team to get turnovers against and win the turnover battle against, because, as I mentioned, just last year they were plus 10. And they're already plus 2 this year.
I definitely feel more confident in the Saints defense, though, going into this matchup, just because I know Dennis Allen been there, done that, and knows what to do against a guy like Dak Prescott. Just concerned to see what this offensive line, how they hold up now week 2 against a Dallas defense that's a lot more formidable than the Panthers front, and expecting definitely a lot of pressure coming Derek Carr's way. And we know some injuries, obviously, along the O-line for the Saints. That has been a question mark going into the season, as it was if they don't have Fuaga able to play today, and there's some other, you know, questions at that left tackle spot, you know, how's that going to affect the entire offensive line going forward? And I know that Lucas Patrick too even is dealing with some injury, but was not listed as questionable at all for this status in this game with a toe injury. He's a full go. But the offensive line concerns, it'll be interesting early on to see how the Cowboys attack the Saints, and then how the black and gold are able to, I guess, support and hold up against it in the run game and in the pass rush.
You know, it's kind of funny. If you look at it, the Cowboys, with the 33-17 win over Cleveland last week. Kevontae Turpin, who, as we mentioned, the two electric returners on this team, right? Turpin for the Cowboys and then Rashid for the Saints. He had a house call, 60-yard house call in the third quarter of that game. So in reality, I mean, their offense accounted for 26 points against a really strong Cleveland defense. So you can't take anything away from them. But last year, they were averaging just under 30 points per game. It's at 29.9. And this is going to be a test for the Saints defense. And we'll get to Deuce's keys for the game in just a little bit here. But his number one thing was bully this team. Like, they have all the flashiness. They have what you want from a high-powered, high-octane type of offense. Go bully them. And I love that from Deuce. So we'll hear that clip in a little bit, too.
Want to hear from you on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk in text line. It's 504-260-1870 here on First Take. Getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. That's leading up to a noon start in Dallas, Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium, Saints and Cowboys. Stick right here on WWO. We'll be back after the break.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I mean, we know they're a good team, disciplined team, has great players. But, you know, I think we are that too. So I think it'd be a good matchup, and I guess we're going to see.
Chase Young has been an impressive addition to the Saints squad. My wife was at the game for week one in the Superdome, and she said, man, that guy is just massive. I think that's pretty much everybody's initial impression of Chase Young. And also, like I'm saying, Charlie, a massive addition for this pass rush. And I think it's been obviously a big addition, and it's paying off early for this team with pressure.
I want to say it was Nowak that came on with us, like one of the first training camp practices out in Irvine. He's just like, this is a gigantic human being. Like, there's a reason that Chase Young was the number two pick in the draft a few years back. And as far as his performance in week one, like, yes, no sacks recorded, but the pressures were there.
Exactly.
He was getting after Bryce Young. He was forcing incompletions by the pressure that he was getting on him.
And basically, Alante's, third sack, I think, was all, you know, a lot of credit to Chase Young occupying some guys.
And so we have a couple texts coming in here, Steve, as well. Let's see. This one is from 5147. Dak will get pressured a ton today. Bet the under. 46.5.
So. Ooh, some betting advice.
Yeah, there you go. Bet the under. That's pretty fun. I think if it's the under and if it's a tight game, that plays into exactly what the Saints want here. As far as Dak getting pressured a bunch, that is a gigantic key. We cannot emphasize enough. Like, because stopping the run is one thing. The Cowboys don't necessarily have the most elite rushing attack. We mentioned that earlier as well, Steve. Their running back situation with, like, you got old man Ezekiel Elliott, who had a solid performance week one. I don't want to take anything away from him. Rico Dowdle is like their RB2. Like, this is a team that you can imagine, especially in a stacked running back draft, is going to be looking for RB pretty early on in 2025. But this year, like, their running back situation isn't great. Their rushing attack isn't great. So if you can stop the run and force them into those obvious passing downs like we talked about and get pressure on Dak, get them on the ground, like, yeah, that's a gigantic key. We have a bunch of texts coming in about the line play as well. This one is from 8942, the key to win. Every game is winning at the line of scrimmage. I agree. Cowboys have a rookie O-line, as do the Saints. Yeah, they actually both do have really young offensive lines. And just like I was impressed and surprised with the Saints' offensive line performance against a bad Panthers defensive line in week one, you know, they gave up three sacks in that game, but Cleveland's defensive line is fantastic. Right. So the fact that the Cowboys' young offensive line held up pretty well is a good sign for them. The Saints' defensive line, I think, is also one of the strengths of their team, so it's going to be a test for them again. Let's see. As do the Saints, which stand tall against an opposing veteran D-line. That is one of the scariest units on this really strong Cowboys team, as we've mentioned a few times throughout the show, is their D-line is pretty frightening. With DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons coming off the edges, you got to be able to run the ball and not get in those passing downs where Derek Carr has two guys potentially breathing down his neck because they're elite pass rushers. So we'll see what happens.
Definitely would love to see the Saints cruising to a victory. Well, the Saints are partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. So make sure you check that out. Who Dat Nation, going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line early this morning on First Take, 504-260-1870 if you want to chime in. And all the way from down under, we've got our representative Who Dat in Australia, Tony. Tony, how you doing this morning, man?
What's up, Tony?
How are you, Steve and Sally?
What's going on, man?
The O-line and tight ends, they got to stop Parsons and Lawrence getting a car, and the Dewey's, they got to stop Elliott and CeeDee Lamb getting yards.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is the one that really scares me. I mean, as we mentioned, he's a top three receiver in the league, and even though he had a pretty quiet week one performance, he still had 10 targets, and I think you can probably expect that again this week, somewhere around that. So stopping CD, agree 100%. Same thing with the offensive line. And Tony, we have a texter here, Cyborg Saint, that agrees with you. He said, the O-line is the key to this game for us. Give Carr protection and open the holes for Kamara. Olave is going to shine today, too. Okay, I like that. I like that optimism. Who Dat? Who Dat, Cyborg Saint, and Who Dat, Tony? So with Kamara, like, yes, the offensive line is going to be huge, opening up space for the run game. As we mentioned, the Browns had decent success against the Cowboys in week one in the run game, averaging 4.9 yards per carry. But they just didn't have the volume. They had 19 carries because they got blown out, and they had to throw the ball more often than not. So as far as the Saints in their run game, if they can stay committed to it early on, right, and if the defense can keep – because the defense had issues with this last year, Steve. We remember the Saints' defense had issues early on in games where teams would jump out to early leads, and that's why, you know, they lost so many games, is because the Saints were playing from behind so much. If the Saints' defense can hold this Dallas offense down early on, and the Saints can establish their run game, I think both of those things are gigantic.
Looking at another one on that receiving core, and doesn't get maybe enough credit for the seasons he's been able to put together, but Brandon Cooks is a problem too. He's a good complement to CeeDee Lamb, and obviously the Saints know him well, was a former first-round draft pick of this team. He's bounced around a ton of places, New England, the Rams, the Texans, the Cowboys. Yeah, he came into the league in 2014.
Wow.
I know, hard to believe.
Yeah, that is.
But definitely a burner that's definitely dangerous. This team's going to have to watch out for besides a guy like CeeDee Lamb in that receiving core. But other than that, not really a ton of passing weapons there. And I know the tight end for the Cowboys is a bit banged up too.
Jake Ferguson, who Cullen and I were watching this when we were watching the Browns and Cowboys game, it looked like his leg was messed up. But it ended up just being a sprained MCL. I know that he put out a tweet, God is good, and it's just like, good for you, Jake Ferguson. You avoided a serious injury. He was listed as doubtful for this game. I don't think he's playing, Steve. I think it's probably, I'm 90% sure that he's not going to play. I'm pretty certain that he's not going to be going. So if you're looking at the Cowboys' pass-catching weapons, last week, CeeDee Lamb, 10 targets, 5 receptions, 61 yards, along with 34. So the explosive plays are always a possibility with someone like CeeDee.
Right.
Brandon Cooks was number two on that list. He had, as you mentioned, the number two wide receiver with Dallas, 7 targets, 4 receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown, along with 21. But the third guy, as far as targets goes and receptions, was Jake Ferguson. Outside of that, you know, you have a couple different guys, a couple running backs there. But the two guys, as you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb is by far and away number one, one of the top receivers in football. But Brandon Cooks, as you mentioned, is a solid complementary piece at number two. Without Jake Ferguson, it's actually going to be pretty interesting who's going to be the third guy in targets for this team for the Cowboys in this game.
Cullen just shared this with me, Charlie, from Jane Slater, who's covering this Cowboys-Saints matchup for the NFL Network. Or is she still with the NFL Network?
I believe so.
Yeah. The Cowboys monitoring tight end Jake Ferguson, who I am told is trending out, but not officially ruled out yet. Up next, Luke Schoonmaker, who has 8 receptions last season as a rookie.
Right. So, I mean, I would imagine that Ferguson's probably going to be out. He was listed as doubtful. They didn't want to completely rule him out for this game. But a sprained MCL, dude, just like sit the bench for a couple weeks. Get healthy. Like, and I'm not even just saying that as a Saints media person. Right. Like, just spend some time on the bench and you'll be okay.
What you got for us, Cullen?
She's actually, I found another tweet where she kind of builds on that, where she says that earlier this week, Ferguson, told me coaches wanted to see his power on routes and in play and didn't want him out there if he was 60 to 80%.
I mean, you're like not even a full week removed from a sprained MCL. Like, I don't see him playing. So, but that's kind of my point in all this, is that he was the third leading receiver as far as catches and targets goes.
Yeah.
The yards were a little bit lower. 15 yards on 3 receptions isn't great. But who is Dak going to be looking to fill that void in their tight end room?
Hopefully our cornerbacks.
yeah, exactly. So, but at the same time, like Luke Schoonmaker, who, as you mentioned, had 8 catches as a rookie, you still got to, you know, honor it and defend it, right, as a Saints defense. At the same time, that's a pretty big void, I would say.
Yeah, looking at this Saints squad going up a Cowboys offense that is, you know, looked at as one of the more, I guess, high powered. Because
the Cowboys?
Because they do have a guy like CeeDee Lamb.
They were number one in the NFL in scoring last year. And they were just under 30 points per game.
I know their ability to be able to put up points early on, and we talked about fast starts. Well, Saints head coach Dennis Allen was asked about that as well, talking about how come this Dallas Cowboys squad is so good at fast starts in games, and this is what DA had to say.
Well, it just tells me that they come into games prepared. I think their coaching staff does a really good job of getting them prepared to play the game, and they execute at a high level, you know. So I don't think it's anything that's, like, unique in terms of, like, running exotic plays or anything like that. I think, you know, they give you some different looks in all 3 phases, but I think it really just comes down to they got a good plan and they come out and they execute.
There you go, coming out and just executing. I think that's the biggest thing. You can at least give the Cowboys and their coaching staff credit. They seem prepared going into games, regular season games at least, we'll say.
No, for sure. But that was a big point of emphasis, I think, for the Saints last week in their opener against Carolina, where, let's remember, people were still like, oh, some people were picking the Panthers in that game. And the Saints defense came out and just smothered them.
Yeah, like, well, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we doing here? So, but at the same time, it's a huge step up in competition because once, like, as I mentioned, the Cowboys' offense scored just under 30 points per game last year.
Yeah.
It was at 29.9. And they put up 33 against Cleveland, but you got a Kevontae Turpin's house call in that game, a punt return for a touchdown. They put up 26 points in that game. So against a good Browns defense that had given up basically 13 points per game at home last year. So it's still a really strong performance. This is a strong offense for a reason. It's going to be a huge test for the Saints defense.
I wonder if Deshaun Watson needed a massage after that game.
Yeah, probably so. All the, I mean, what, 17 quarterback hits, Steve? Like 6 sacks? Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't feeling too good after it.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get more into our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can sound off this game day, folks. What are you up to pre-gaming? 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you. We'll be back with more of First Take after this right here on WWL.
Out of a shotgun is Carr. Panthers bring 4. Carr stands, now fires it deep. Middle of the field. Rashid Shaheed. See you later. Bye. Touchdown, New Orleans. Rashid Shaheed.
Oh, yes, indeed. We want to see more of that today. Carter Shaheed hooking up for that big touchdown. A total of 200 receiving yards for the Black and Gold in week 1.
Yes,
Venture
sir.
Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now, $2,000. And we'll keep a running tab of that throughout the season for the Black and Gold. And we kind of touched on it, Charlie, that kind of silent week 1 was Chris Olave, and expecting much more from him in this week 2 matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that you're gonna need to see your number one receiver showing up in a big way against the Cowboys.
Yeah, our guy Cyborg Saint on the text line said Olave is going to shine today. I would love that. I mean, if he's going up against Trevon Diggs, and as we mentioned the numbers for Diggs, where he had basically a 30.6 defensive passer rating against, which was top three in the NFL for guys that were targeted more than five times, he's a strong corner. Like, the Cowboys have at least a stud at basically every position group on their roster, and that's what kind of makes it tough. The running back room is a little bit weak, but as far as, I mean, CeeDee Lamb and Dak, obviously regular season Dak, Jake Ferguson, but now, as we mentioned, he's doubtful, likely going to be out in the tight end room. On the offensive line, it's pretty interesting. They're very young there. In the cornerback room, the secondary specifically, Trevon Diggs as a cornerback one is really solid. But that matchup between Olave and potentially Diggs is one to keep an eye on, because he did have a really quiet week one as far as Olave goes, with those two receptions for 11 yards. On both targets that he got, I mean, the Saints spread the ball around week one, Steve. Like, their offense was moving efficiently against that Carolina defense. Nine different guys got a target. Shaheed, as you kind of play that touchdown there, led the team with five targets. He was actually tied with Kamara with those five targets. He had three receptions and then 73 yards and that touchdown. So, it's going to be interesting to see what Olave does, if he can have a really nice bounce back. It's not going to be easy because the Cowboys have a really solid defense. But if he can break through and have, like, I don't know, 70-something yards in this game, then the Saints are going to probably be calling upon his number pretty often, especially in those third down situations. That's something that we mentioned early on, and I said that we'd get back to. The Saints' defense in third down against the Panthers was excellent. They held them to 1 of 10. The issue is that the Cowboys' defense was also great against the Browns in third downs. Are you seeing kind of a pattern here? When you go, like, plus 2 in turnovers and you hold teams to really poor third down situations, you kind of blow a team out. It's almost like it kind of matters. The third down situations for the Browns, 2 of 15 in that game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that turnover margin, a great equalizer. Some good news, folks, seeing some from the Saints media on Twitter, the fact that Taliese Fuaga is on the field right now warming up for the black and gold. He is questionable with that back issue, so I'm sure right now they're kind of giving it a go, see how that tightness is doing, and if he's able to play in this game, which is a noon start right here on WWL Saints Radio.
He's a game time decision.
Right.
The thing is with Fuaga, and as I mentioned earlier, Nowak had pointed this out. The fact that they didn't elevate any offensive linemen from the practice squad leads you to believe that he's probably going to go and that they feel decent about his chances to go. Now, if he doesn't go, that's a completely different situation. And you, I don't know, you probably have Landon Young out there at left tackle.
I would think
against
so, yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence. That's you feel a lot better about Taliese Fuaga, especially with the debut performance he had, Steve. Like, we talked about how the offensive line had a good showing.
Glowing reviews. Did you see Brian Baldinger's breakdown?
Baldy's
NFL insider.
Brian Baldinger's fantastic. But he had the Baldy's breakdown with Fuaga, and he glowed about him when the Saints picked him. He really loved the draft selection.
Yeah.
But his kind of review about how Fuaga looked against the Panthers is just like college. It's exactly what you saw from him. And so, if you haven't seen that and you're a Saints fan,
definitely check
it out.
For sure.
Yeah, Baldy's breakdown of Fuaga. And if you want to feel better about the Saints' first-round pick from this past year, like, I felt like $1 million. So if he can go in this game, it's going to be huge, because you're probably going to be having to chip Micah Parsons with Trevor Penning on the opposite side, which kind of leaves Fuaga on that island against a really strong pass rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence, who had two sacks against the Browns.
Yeah.
So, but the way that he looked against, granted, a poor Carolina Panthers defense was super encouraging, and it's great for early confidence building.
Definitely Baldy's breakdown, a key, especially with offensive line. Another key, whatever Deuce McAllister has to say, and we want to hear Deuce McAllister's keys to this game against the Dallas Cowboys that he talked about Friday on Fans in the Pro.
The Saints have to run the football. I don't think the Saints will be successful if they do not run the football. So whether that's first down, third down, whatever it may be, the Saints have to run the football.
To be able to maintain your offense. You can't
get behind. Not even maintain your offense. You can get behind. I'm not worried about them getting behind. They can fall down, you know, 10 points, 14 points. You still have to be able to run the football. I mean, I don't think that you're going to be very successful against this team having to drop back pass 40 times. You're just not going to be successful. Your offense is not built that way. You have to be able to run the football, even if it's some tough sledding, so to speak, as far as yards-wise. I'm fine having to punt. I'm fine having to put defense out there and let them play the game. What you can't do is give up on the run because you're not having a lot of success early, and now you allow this team just to say, oh, we can just rush the quarterback. We don't have to worry about them running the ball.
shorten the game, so to speak, because you just got to grind it out. I mean, it's, what about flip it for me?
Yeah, it's not even shortening in the game. In a sense, yes, you're shortening the game, but really, that's just your offense. You're going to run the ball. That's week in and week out, and that's why taking your team on the road, you want to run the football. I mean, it's not necessarily because you fear them offensively. That's just who you are from. That's your identity as a team.
So then defensively against Dallas's offense, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks at wide receiver, Ezekiel Elliott at running back.
Go be a bully. That's what I want you to do. Go be a bully. That's what the Saints have to do on defense. You got to go and be a bully because they want to play fast. They want to get it to the toys. You got to hit the quarterback. You have to affect the quarterback. And if I have to send pressure, then that means I'm going to leave somebody on the island. I don't want to get beat over the top, but I want to contest at the catch point. But you can't allow that team just to play fast. You can't allow Dak to feel comfortable in the pocket. You've got to make him move a little bit. Dak has the ability to run. I don't know if Dak really wants to run. He will, but, you know, you can't allow Dak to just break containment, but you've got to hit him as well.
And move the pocket. They'll move the pocket with him just to create some throwing lanes for him.
Well, yeah.
Against Cleveland.
Well, that was because of that D-line. And right. I think that they respect the Saints in the same manner, you know. And so it'll be interesting. Win the line of scrimmage, run the football, and then be a bully on defense.
You heard it there from the Saints color analyst, Deuce McAllister, along
great
with Mike
stuff.
Haas there on Friday on Fans in the Pro. And talking bully ball, maybe that's why the team is wearing all black again today.
Oh,
executioner style, right?
I love it. Yeah, be a bully on defense. But as far as the run game goes, we didn't get to this clip. Deuce had a great point as well about, you know, breaking off these massive chunk runs. And he said, basically, if these receivers can finish off a block and the running back can make a defender miss, just one. Because you get to those 50-50 spots. If you can make a guy miss, you can break off, as Deuce mentioned, 30-plus yard runs. That's how close the Saints' rushing attack was to having some huge plays. Now, 17 long for Alvin, 14 long for Jamal, 12 long for Taysom. That's good stuff. But you're really, really close to having those super explosive plays in the run game, and that's what you need.
Yeah, we'll take that. They averaged 4.9 a carry last
game. Do it
game.
Again.
Let's do it again. Right, more bully ball. Coming back with more First Take right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL.
I think being really efficient and effective on first and second down, you know, they got good pass rushers, obviously, and, you know, you get in clear passing situations that's advantage them. So making sure that we do a good job on first and second down, make sure we don't have any negative plays, I think is the key to the game.
Saints Swiss Army Knife Taysom Hill talking there on some of the keys for a Saints victory in Dallas. Definitely think his kind of physical play, Charlie, and obviously his versatility, a key for the Saints in this one. He got a little usage in that Panthers game, but they didn't have to really dive into the depths of Taysom Hill because of how easily they were able to handle the Panthers. This matchup against the Cowboys, much different. Definitely need his physical play against a physical front like there.
We got a great text from 9995. It says, we need the Taysom Hill trifecta, running touchdown, receiving touchdown, and passing touchdown. Who dat, baby?
Love it.
As you mentioned, not really utilized much in that Panthers game, but they didn't really need to because it was such a blowout. I mean, 7 yards per carry, that'll play anywhere, right? So he had 5 attempts against Carolina. You know, probably looking for double that if you really want to get the most out of Taysom Hill in this matchup, which you might need to. And once again, the Cowboys rush defense, 4.9 yards per carry given up to the Cleveland Browns. The Saints are anywhere near that. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, definitely excited to see more of Alvin Kamara, too. I know he's still, you know, his future with the Saints kind of in question now, but he's been nothing but a pro and what he's doing.
Worry about the now.
Getting ready for the now, exactly like you said. Instead of, I don't want to talk about my contract, I just want to play ball.
Worry about the now. And 5.5 yards per carry for Alvin in that opener against Carolina. So once again, if the volume is there and the yards per carry stays consistent and the Saints offense is rolling, can see something here.
That's a wrap on First Take, folks. Coming up, the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Thank you, Charlie Long. Thank you, Cullen Steele. And thank you, Who Dat Nation, getting ready for more black and gold coverage right after this. So stay tuned here on WWL. And, of course, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Be right back with the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff coming up here on the Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out of the shotgun is Carr. Panthers bring four. Carr stands, now fires it deep. Middle of the field. Rashid Shaheed. See you later, bye. Touchdown, New Orleans. Rashid Shaheed.
Oh, yes, indeed. We want to see more of that today. Carr to Shaheed hooking up for that big touchdown. A total of 200 receiving yards for the Black and Gold in week one.
Yes,
Venture
sir.
Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now, $2,000. And we'll keep a running tab of that throughout the season for the Black and Gold. And we kind of touched on it, Charlie, that kind of silent week one was Chris Olave, and expecting much more from him in this week two matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that you're gonna need to see your number one receiver showing up in a big way against the Cowboys.
Yeah, our guy Cyborg Saint on the text line said Olave is going to shine today. I would love that. I mean, if he's going up against Trevon Diggs, and as we mentioned, the numbers for Diggs, where he had basically a 30.6 defensive passer rating against, which was top three in the NFL for guys that were targeted more than five times, he's a strong corner. Like, the Cowboys have at least a stud at basically every position group on their roster, and that's what kind of makes it tough. The running back room is a little bit weak, but as far as, I mean, CeeDee Lamb and Dak, obviously regular season Dak,
yeah,
Jake Ferguson, but now, as we mentioned, he's doubtful, likely going to be out in the tight end room. On the offensive line, it's pretty interesting. They're very young there. In the cornerback room, the secondary specifically, Trevon Diggs as a cornerback one is really solid. But that matchup between Olave and potentially Diggs is one to keep an eye on, because he did have a really quiet week one as far as Olave goes, with those two receptions for 11 yards on both targets that he got. I mean, the Saints spread the ball around week one, Steve. Like, their offense was moving efficiently against that Carolina defense. Nine different guys got a target. Shaheed, as you kind of played that touchdown there, led the team with five targets. He was actually tied with Kamara with those five targets. He had three receptions and then 73 yards and that touchdown. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Olave does, if he can have a really nice bounce back. It's not going to be easy because the Cowboys have a really solid defense. But if he can break through and have, like, I don't know, 70-something yards in this game, then the Saints are going to probably be calling upon his number pretty often, especially in those third down situations. That's something that we mentioned early on, and I said that we'd get back to. The Saints' defense in third down against the Panthers was excellent. They held them to 1 of 10. The issue is that the Cowboys' defense was also great against the Browns in third downs. Are you seeing kind of a pattern here? When you go, like, plus 2 in turnovers and you hold teams to really poor third down situations, you kind of blow a team out. It's almost like it kind of matters. The third down situations for the Browns, 2 of 15 in that game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that turnover margin, a great equalizer. Some good news, folks, seeing some from the Saints media on Twitter, the fact that Taliese Fuaga is on the field right now warming up for the Black and Gold. He is questionable with that back issue, so I'm sure right now they're kind of giving it a go, see how that tightness is doing, and if he's able to play in this game, which is a noon start right here on WWL Saints Radio.
He's a game time decision.
Right.
The thing is with Fuaga, and as I mentioned earlier, no Wack had pointed this out. The fact that they didn't elevate any offensive lineman from the practice squad leads you to believe that he's probably going to go and that they feel decent about his chances to go. Now, if he doesn't go, that's a completely different situation. And you, I don't know, you probably have Landon Young out there at left tackle.
I would think
against
so, yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence. That's you feel a lot better about Taliese Fuaga, especially with the debut performance he had, Steve. Like, we talked about how the offensive line
glowing
had a good showing.
Glowing reviews. Did you see Brian Baldinger's breakdown?
Baldy's
NFL insider.
Brian Baldinger's fantastic. But he had the Baldy's breakdown with Fuaga. And he glowed about him when the Saints picked him. He really loved the draft selection.
Yeah.
But his kind of review about how Fuaga looked against the Panthers is just like college. It's exactly what you saw from him. And so, if you haven't seen that and you're a Saints fan,
definitely check it out. For sure.
Yeah, Baldy's breakdown of Fuaga. And if you want to feel better about the Saints' first-round pick from this past year, like I felt like $1 million. So if he can go in this game, it's going to be huge because you're probably going to be having to chip Micah Parsons with Trevor Penning on the opposite side, which kind of leaves Fuaga on that island against a really strong pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence, who had 2 sacks against the Browns.
Yeah.
So, but the way that he looked against, granted, a poor Carolina Panthers defense was super encouraging, and it's great for early confidence building.
Definitely Baldy's breakdown, a key, especially with offensive line. Another key, whatever Deuce McAllister has to say.
Yeah.
And we want to hear Deuce McAllister's keys to this game against the Dallas Cowboys that he talked about Friday on Fans in the Pro.
The Saints have to run the football. I don't think the Saints will be successful if they do not run the football. So whether that's first down, third down, whatever it may be, the Saints have to run the football.
To be able to maintain your offense. You can't
get behind. Not even maintain your offense. You can get behind. I'm not worried about them getting behind. They can fall down, you know, 10 points, 14 points. You still have to be able to run the football. I mean, I don't think that you're going to be very successful against this team having to drop back pass 40 times. You're just not going to be successful. Your offense is not built that way. You have to be able to run the football, even if it's some tough sledding, so to speak, as far as yards-wise. I'm fine having to punt. I'm fine having to put defense out there and let them play the game. What you can't do is give up on the run because you're not having a lot of success early, and now you allow this team just to say, oh, we can just rush the quarterback. We don't have to worry about them running the ball.
Shorten the game, so to speak, because you just got to grind it out. I mean, what about flip it for me?
Yeah, it's not even shortening in the game. In a sense, yes, you're shortening the game. But really, that's just your offense. You're going to run the ball. That's week in and week out. And that's why taking your team on the road, you want to run the football. I mean, it's not necessarily because you fear them offensively. That's just who you are from. That's your identity as a team.
So then defensively against Dallas's offense, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks at wide receiver, Ezekiel Elliott at running back.
Go be a bully. That's what I want you to do. Go be a bully. That's what the Saints have to do on defense. You got to go and be a bully, because they want to play fast. They want to get it to the toys. You got to hit the quarterback. You have to affect the quarterback. And if I have to send pressure, then that means I'm going to leave somebody on the island. I don't want to get beat over the top, but I want to contest at the catch point. But you can't allow that team just to play fast. You can't allow Dak to feel comfortable in the pocket. You've got to make him move a little bit. Dak has the ability to run. I don't know if Dak really wants to run. He will, but, you know, you can't allow Dak to just break containment, but you've got to hit him as well.
And move the pocket. They'll move the pocket with him just to create some throwing lanes for him.
Well, yeah.
Against Cleveland.
Well, that was because of that D-line. And right. I think that they respect the Saints in the same manner, you know. And so it'll be interesting. Win the line of scrimmage, run the football, and then be a bully on defense.
You heard it there from the Saints color analyst, Deuce McAllister, along
great
with
stuff.
Mike Haas there on Friday on Fans in the Pro. And talking bully ball, maybe that's why the team is wearing all black again today.
Oh,
executioner style, right?
I love it. Yeah, be a bully on defense. But as far as the run game goes, we didn't get to this clip. Deuce had a great point as well about, you know, breaking off these massive chunk runs. And he said, basically, if these receivers can finish off a block and the running back can make a defender miss, just one, because you get to those 50-50 spots. If you can make a guy miss, you can break off, as Deuce mentioned, 30-plus yard runs. That's how close the Saints' rushing attack was to having some huge plays. Now, 17 long for Alvin, 14 long for Jamal, 12 long for Taysom. That's good stuff. But you're really, really close to having those super explosive plays in the run game, and that's what you need.
Yeah, we'll take that. They averaged 4.9 a carry last game. Let's do it again. Right, more bully ball. Coming back with more First Take right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL.
I think being really efficient and effective on first and second down, you know, they got good pass rushers, obviously, and, you know, you get in clear passing situations that's advantage them. So making sure that we do a good job on first and second down, make sure we don't have any negative plays, I think is the key to the game.
Saints Swiss Army Knife Taysom Hill talking there on some of the keys for a Saints victory in Dallas. Definitely think his kind of physical play, Charlie, and obviously his versatility, a key for the Saints in this one. He got a little usage in that Panthers game, but they didn't have to really dive into the depths of Taysom Hill because of how easily they were able to handle the Panthers. This matchup against the Cowboys, much different. Definitely need his physical play against a physical front like there.
We got a great text from 9995. It says, we need the Taysom Hill trifecta. Running touchdown, receiving touchdown, and passing touchdown. Who dat, baby? I love it.
Who dat?
Love it, love it, love it. As you mentioned, not really utilized much in that Panthers game, but they didn't really need to because it was such a blowout. I mean, 7 yards per carry, that'll play anywhere, right? So he had 5 attempts against Carolina. You know, probably looking for double that if you really want to get the most out of Taysom Hill in this matchup, which you might need to. And once again, the Cowboys rush defense, 4.9 yards per carry given up to the Cleveland Browns. The Saints are anywhere near that. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, definitely excited to see more of Alvin Kamara, too. I know he's still, you know, his future with the Saints kind of in question now, but he's been nothing but a pro and what he's doing.
Worry about the now.
Getting ready for the now, exactly like you said. Instead of, I don't want to talk about my contract, I just want to play ball.
Worry about the now. And 5.5 yards per carry for Alvin in that opener against Carolina. So once again, if the volume is there and the yards per carry stays consistent and the Saints offense is rolling, can see something here.
That's a wrap on First Take, folks. Coming up, the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Thank you, Charlie Long. Thank you, Cullen Steele. And thank you, Who Dat Nation, getting ready for more black and gold coverage right after this. So stay tuned here on WWL. And, of course, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who Dat, be right back with the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, coming up here on the Saints Radio Network.
I think being really efficient and effective on first and second down, you know, they got good pass rushers, obviously, and you know, you get in clear passing situations, that's advantage them. So making sure that we do a good job on first and second down, make sure we don't have any negative plays, I think is the key to the game.
Saints Swiss Army Knife Taysom Hill talking there on some of the keys for a Saints victory in Dallas. Definitely think his kind of physical play, Charlie, and obviously his versatility, a key for the Saints in this one. He got a little usage in that Panthers game, but they didn't have to really dive into the depths of Taysom Hill because of how easily they were able to handle the Panthers. This matchup against the Cowboys, much different. Definitely need his physical play against a physical front like there.
We got a great text from 9995. It says, we need the Taysom Hill trifecta. Running touchdown, receiving touchdown, and passing touchdown. Who dat, baby? I love it.
Who dat?
Love it, love it, love it. As you mentioned, not really utilized much in that Panthers game, but they didn't really need to because it was such a blowout. I mean, 7 yards per carry, that'll play anywhere, right? So he had 5 attempts against Carolina. You know, probably looking for double that if you really want to get the most out of Taysom Hill in this matchup, which you might need to. And once again, the Cowboys rush defense, 4.9 yards per carry given up to the Cleveland Browns. The Saints are anywhere near that. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, definitely excited to see more of Alvin Kamara, too. I know he's still, you know, his future with the Saints kind of in question now, but he's been nothing but a pro and what he's doing.
Worry about the now.
Getting ready for the now, exactly like you said. Instead of, I don't want to talk about my contract, I just want to play ball.
Worry about the now. And 5.5 yards per carry for Alvin in that opener against Carolina. So once again, if the volume is there and the yards per carry stays consistent and the Saints offense is rolling, can see something here.
That's a wrap on First Take, folks. Coming up, the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Thank you, Charlie Long. Thank you, Cullen Steele. And thank you, Who Dat Nation, getting ready for more black and gold coverage right after this. So stay tuned here on WWL. And, of course, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who Dat, be right back with the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, coming up here on the Saints Radio Network.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.